This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship Show on the BetRivers Network. I am your host, well, co-host. Don't know how it really works. I'm your host, George Ellick, and here's my sidekick, Jack Wright. Is that right?
Sidekick. Yeah, nice. Yeah, okay. How you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Happy to have the championship back.
I know.
It's always annoying an international break. We lose the championship. What are you getting up to in this footballing void?
Watching League One and League Two. Yeah, that's what we've been doing. We've been fortunate enough. That's the good thing about the one thing about that is I love the fact the spotlight then goes on to the League One and League Two, and there's some cracking teams down there, some cracking games. And we obviously had one live on TV in the UK as well, which I'll come on to in a little while. But it was a good watch. Yeah, how about you?
We had two, so you must have missed one because there was also
which one did I miss?
Forest Green Exeter 4-0 Exeter.
Oh, I did miss
early
that
on
one,
Saturday.
Actually.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't much of a contest, to be honest. It was good. It was good. And it's also, for some of us who work a lot in the EFL, when the championship goes, things do get a little bit quieter. So it felt almost like a weekend off.
A little bit of a break, wasn't it? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. We're going to be looking ahead, as we always do on this show. We're going to be previewing the championship action by having three selections each from the championship and then one from League One and one from League Two between us. So we'll get into that in just a second. Before we do, please do go and check out the @BecauseWeWin Twitter handle, where we can find all the different sports handicappers who create content on the BetRivers network. I know you're one of the richest men in the South of England, Jack, at the moment. Aren't you following all the golf tips?
Oh, no. They've absolutely smashed out of the park last week. I was looking at 175-1 winner. And then suddenly he fell away a little bit and then up popped their 80-1 suggestion to go and take it. So I was like, oh, happy days. Yeah, absolutely smashing it, them lads. Tennis as well. They had the finalists in last week as well. So all going on. It's across a multitude of sports. And I think there's darts coming up now as well. So it just keeps on coming. Bring it on.
Yeah. Bring it on. So much stuff there. All very good stuff. Do check out the BetRivers Network YouTube page. You can find all the shows as podcasts as well on any podcast provider. So go and check that out. Loads of winners being put in. I'll make sure this time next week, or there's midweek, isn't there? So early next week, I'll get our figures for the season up as well, because we've been a couple of weeks since we can remind everyone of those. But let's start with our picks in the championship. A full slate, all teams playing. And we've got a Friday night game. We've got a midday kickoff as well on Sunday. So loads of action over the course. I mean, that's all UK time, obviously. Loads of action coming over the course of the weekend. But you are starting with Friday night football. Hull hosting Luton, and you want to find a way to get with the away side.
I do. Always seems to be the way, George. Every time there's a Friday night game, I can't wait for the Saturday action. And I'm like in like an eager little puppy going at the first game I can get, especially after an international break. And it so happens that it's dropped in this time as well. And as you rightly say, I'm looking to get Luton onside and specifically goals. So if there's, you know, loads of goals in it, happy days. It is, as you say, the Friday evening game in the UK. That's 3 o'clock Eastern time in the States for the American viewers that want to check that game out. So I think it should be a cracker. I'm actually taking Luton goals over 1.5 goals at odds of +145. So plus money on that, which looked quite generous to me. I think the international break, which we then talked about, came just the right time for Shola Avaladze at Hull, possibly a stay of execution. I think if results continue to go the way they have been, then I don't think he will be surviving much longer. And we did mention that right at the start of the season that the jury was out on him. And although he started quite brightly, I think they kind of topped the table, or they're certainly in the top two over the opening couple of weeks, it's gone into a complete tailspin since then. They've lost 5 of the last 6. All of the last 4, and they're now down in 20th, massive fall from grace and just 1 point above the drop zone. So if they do lose this one, they could well be in severe danger of getting into that relegation zone after the rest of the weekend games. So they've got to set the tone. the nature of the championship does mean if they do get a win against Luton, they will go above them up into 11th. So it's that's the say tightly contested nature. But as I said, I'm going to be siding with Luton to certainly get amongst the goals here. One thing Hull have done is that at the start of the season, they were kind of an exciting watch, goals at both ends. Well, they've sorted that out in one context, is that they've not scored any now. They've not scored in three games, but they're shipping an absolute alarming rate at the other end. They've conceded the most goals in the championship now. No clean sheet in any of their five home games. And I said, those six games that I mentioned a moment ago, they've conceded a whopping 18 times across those last six. So it's, you're never going to be winning games of football if you're conceding that many. They've conceded at least twice in all of those six games as well. So it's, I say it's a horrendous run of form. I watched large parts, highlights of the game against Swansea the last time they played before the international break, and they were lucky enough to lose 3-0. It could have been a lot worse. Some of the defending was absolutely chaotic. Laughable if you were a neutral or a Swansea fan. It must have been soul-destroying as a Hull fan to watch that kind of stuff going on. Figueiredo kind of, for the second goal, it seems as if he felt that he might have been touched by a Swansea player. It turned out to be his goalkeeper and just fell to the floor. Six-yard box tap in for Swansea. Then he inexplicably just passed straight to Pirro for the third goal for Swansea. So just a shambles, really. But obviously, we do need Luton to come to the party here for this particular bet. And no better side, really, at the moment than them. They've only lost one of the last six games themselves. They've scored two goals in four of their last six, and that's coincided with Carlton Morris really finding his form. A player that's been decimated by injuries over the years. It'd be great to see him get a full run. Obviously, summer signing from Barnsley, and is now really kind of getting the game time and scored six in his last six. I was tempted to put him forward as an anytime goal scorer, but I don't want to steal your thunder there. That's your market. You're the king of that. So that's why I ended up going possibly with a safer option of over 1.5 Luton goals at +145. A win here will lift them back up into the playoffs. So plenty of incentive for the Hatters on Friday night.
Yeah, great stuff. Bit of Friday night football action to get us off the mark, hopefully. Hull really are looking pretty poor at the moment. It does feel like Shota Arbeladze has a decent squad at his disposal, but yes, unless performances improve, it's hard to see him being there for too much longer, especially given how ambitious the club are. I am, given that you mentioned the goal scorer, I'll start my goal scorer then. We had another Naki Famous. Wells. Yeah. We had another Naki Wells goal last time. We had a show 2 weeks ago. So that's three times I've picked Naki Wells to score any time. Twice he scored and one postponement. So he's done all right for me, to be fair. But the lads at Bet Rivers, the traders have caught up, and he's now priced up accordingly. So that well has run dry, although I will be coming to Bristol City later on. But I'm looking at Sunderland against Preston for my goals selection. Sunderland aside, who I think have been so impressive so far this season after their promotion from League One. They are sitting in fifth position in the championship, and under Tony Mowbray, they've started very well as well. And we've seen them on many occasions score plenty of goals. At home, they drew 2-2 with QPR. They've also beaten Rotherham 3-0. Looking at their away form, they've scored three at Reading. They scored three at Bristol City, two at Watford. They're a team who, you know, set up to attack and have the attacking players to be successful. The crucial angle here, and this is where you know, with any goal scorer bet, I think you can basically be pretty sure that most goal scorers will be priced up correctly, unless you have a reason to think that they aren't being priced up correctly. And I think with Bristol City, we knew that Vyman, his position had changed, and Semenya wasn't playing, which meant that market was a bit skewed. With Sunderland, they have two players who are their two strikers, and they are Ellis Sims, who is injured, and Ross Stewart, who is injured. So you've got Sims and Stewart being priced up as short price favourites to be the anytime goal scorers for Sunderland, but neither are going to play. And when you look at the sides that Sunderland have set out in recent weeks, they're probably going to play without a striker again, which is interesting. Last time it was Pritchard and Embleton who kind of played the furthest forward. What it effectively is it's four attacking players in Pritchard, Embleton, Clark and Roberts, who are all under 5'8" and all are just absolute terriers who like the ball at their feet, and they will be buzzing around the ankles of the Preston backline. And so then it's working out who is the most likely to score out of those four, who obviously aren't going to be priced up as the likeliest to score for a team of favourites. And I've landed on Jack Clarke, who has already scored three goals this season. He scored in the game before last at Reading. He also scored in the home win against Rotherham, and he scored on opening day against Coventry as well. So he's playing pretty regularly. In the 2-2 draw against Watford, he had two shots, both of which were inside the box, both with decent chances. Playing off the left-hand side, not through the middle, but he is a player who's in great form. And in my mind, from watching them this season and seeing the way they're playing without those two strikers, I think he is the one who I think is the most likely to score for Sunderland. But when you compare the prices of him scoring compared to his teammates, obviously he's a much bigger price. We're getting plus 350 about Clarke scoring any time. Compare that to Ellis Sims, who's plus 188, who won't be playing. That just goes to show the difference in price there. Patrick Roberts is plus 250, Embleton's plus 310, and Pritchard plus 475. I think Clarke is, out of those four, the most likely and should be the shortest price of them all. So Jack Clarke, score any time at plus 350, is my anytime goal scorer selection.
Pushgas goal nominated Jack Clarke.
Correct. Well, let's hope so. We have to wait and see, but fingers crossed.
Yeah,
I haven't actually heard from FIFA, but I'd recommend going back and watching that goal because, it was good. What's your second pick?
Okay, I'm going with the league leaders again. Sheffield United, home to Birmingham here. I was trying to work out how to get Sheffield United on side, and finally plumped with the handicap. Minus 1.25, so a goal and a quarter handicap here. We've got get plus money again, plus 102. Sheffield United are looking a class apart as far as I'm concerned at the moment. They're very consistent. They're playing really, really well. They're 3 points clear now at the top of the table. Nearest competitors, of course, are Norwich, who for me aren't performing anywhere near as good as Sheffield United are. So they've kind of got up there with scratching around a little bit compared to United, who are putting in some really good, consistent performances and looking a really, well, anyone who can finish above Sheffield United, I think, has got a serious chance of probably winning the league, if not certainly getting promoted. Four wins on the spin from them now, six wins in the last seven, undefeated since match day one, the opening open defeat against Watford. Since then, have been on a roll, got so much attack and talent. Heckenbottom's got them playing really, really well, and none more so at home. But overall, they've cleared this handicap, although it's quite a stiff handicap. They've cleared it five times from their seven wins this season. So when they are winning, they're winning comfortably. And I say Bramall Lane is a fortress. They've got the fans behind them. Obviously, it's pumped up by the fact that they've now gone top of the table and already got a buffer. And 100% home record. They've scored 11 goals at home and only conceded once, which obviously when we're looking at a handicap bet here is what is golden for us. The fact that they're not conceding and they're scoring goals is perfect. So it's basically only not landed in one of their home games, which was actually against Sunderland, which was 2-1, which probably says more about how well Sunderland are playing this season than not against Sheffield United. So looks really, really well set up. I'm assuming you're going to have your fantastic data charts to hand. I've took a chance on that. But as far as Birmingham are concerned, they've failed to score in three of their five away games. So against a side that have only conceded once at home, that already looks like an uphill task. From what data I've been seeing, it seems that they have been a little bit fortunate to have not conceded more goals. The goals against data would say that the expected goals against is probably twice as much as the 10 goals they have conceded so far this season, home and away. I just feel that the Blades are going to be too strong for them, roared on by the crowd. A two-goal win or better, of course, will mean that we'll get a full return on this. The slight kind of safety net as such is that if Sheffield United do only win by one goal, then we do get a half stake for return as well. So a little bit of a buffer on it. But with the kind of incentive to stretch their lead at the top of the table, or at least consolidate it, I think we should see a nice, comfortable home win here for the Blades.
Yeah, Birmingham's expected goals against per 90 is the fourth worst in the league. Coventry's is the worst. Blackpool next, then Hull, and then Birmingham. So yeah, spot on. The underlying data supporting what you're saying. I'm going back to the Wells, but not the Naki Wells. Bristol City, both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. Always the way when it comes to them at odds against a plus 107. Mm. Interesting quirk with Bristol City that I've noticed now is that they're, if you're looking away from home so far this season, they've had 6 games. All 6 have copped BTTS. Only one has not copped BTTS and over 2.5. That was the 1-1 draw against Wigan on August the 13th. But at home, they've only had 4 games at home so far this season. And 3 of them, they've won 2-0. All 3 of them being 2-0. They beat Luton 2-0. They beat Cardiff 2-0. They beat Huddersfield 2-0. The 3-2 defeat against Sunderland on the second weekend of the season, the only one so far that has copped for the over 2.5 and BTTS, although it did so in style. What I would say to that is that in the whole of September, Bristol City haven't played at home. Their only home game, their last home game was a Wednesday night against Huddersfield, that they won 2-0. So since then, we've seen them lose to Norwich 3-2. We've seen them lose to Burnley 3-2. We've seen them beat Blackburn 3-2. Sorry, lose to Burnley 2-1, I should say. We've seen them beat Blackburn 3-2 as well. So 3 games since then, all away from home, have amassed 13 goals in the 3 games. So Bristol City's trend is going towards goals, not away from it. And I'm not particularly worried about the fact that they their home games haven't been quite as high scoring as the rest. QPR aside, who we've seen already this season have a 2-2 away draw at Sunderland and a 3-2 win at Watford as well. So they're not foreign to their own high scoring games. And I think the way that the players that QPR have, the way that they're set up, I think if there's an early goal in this game, I can see it spiralling into another massive goal fest as well. They're not a particularly defensive side. Mick Beale's doing a great job there. But with the likes of Ilias Chair and Chris Willock, there's enough attacking players at QPR to know that they should look to get at Bristol City rather than sit off them and soak. So, yeah, it's a good game, I think, a good matchup to be getting odds against. Plus 107. Over 2.5 and BTTS at Ashton Gate between Bristol City and QPR. Let's hope I can finally nail down those overs with Bristol City, because they've been my friend and my foe.
Naki Wells hat trick coming.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. So long as QPR score as well. What's your third and final championship selection?
Yeah, final in the championship. Another one of our friends of the show, West Brom, against Swansea this weekend. And I'm going for a both teams to score bet here. Slight odds against, minus 125 is the odds. And I watched West Brom in the flesh last time out. And it's a recurring theme with them this season, and it wasn't any different on that day. They played well. They played some nice stuff, very attacking, created lots of chances, should have won, missed lots of chances, didn't win. That's basically how it went, and that's pretty much how it's gone since the opening day of the season, hasn't it? Still only won one this season against Hull, 5-2. I did wonder, because up until that point of time, they'd obviously conceded or only scored the opening goal in that one game. The rest of the time, 1-0, and the rest that conceded the first goal. So I wonder if they actually got their noses in front, it would then be a little bit different. Mm. But it wasn't really. They did score the opening goal, and then it kind of followed the same theme. And they were a bit sloppy at the back, gave a couple of chances, then finally did score, albeit a scruffy goal. Only one clean sheet all season as well, and they've only failed to score in one game all season. I've already mentioned it was a 0-0, so those two eventualities happened in the same game, 0-0 against Cardiff. We know Cardiff, that side that have struggled this season. Obviously Steve Morrison's lost his job as a result of that, one of the casualties of the international break, probably the less well documented one, but a bit of a surprise nonetheless, I think. But we knew what Cardiff's kind of limitations were, and it transpired in that one game. So other than that, both teams have scored in all other 9 of West Brom's 10 games. As far as Swansea are concerned, I've already mentioned them in that hole, so don't need to go into details there. They cut through Hull at will, created lots and lots of chances. Hopefully that will give them a confidence boost, because they have themselves been struggling a little bit this season under Russell Martin. But it was kind of lots of possession, but what were they doing with it? Well, from what I saw in that particular game, they were doing a lot with it. Hit the bar 3 times, and so obviously had a little bit of a helping hand with some of the goals, but still scored 3. So hopefully. So that will be a confidence boost for them. But looking at that form, I think they will have joy against this baggy side that just do concede chances because they've got so many attacking players on the pitch. I think that will is much of the reason. Just one clean sheet away from home for Swansea, which is good news, obviously, for this particular bet. But they have scored in all four away games. So for them, again, both teams to score landed in three of their four away games. Combined with that with the West Brom stats, this looks like a really nice, solid bet on the goals front. So much attack and talent on the field. We've already mentioned many times the West Brom players that we've got there, Dean Garner. We've got Jed Wallace, who was exceptional again against Norwich last time out. Jonathan Swift, we can go on and on. That's fantastic. As far as Swansea are concerned, Pirro is now finding his form, scoring goals. And Abafemi as well for Swansea, scored on international duty this week. So again, another confidence boost for him to come and look to score some goals as well. So this looks like another entertaining game, one with a few goals in it. And as long as both teams to score, we'll be happy.
There we have it. Third and final selection there, BTTS. In that one between West Bromwich Albion and Swansea City. My third and final selection is backing Burnley to beat Cardiff at +125. Burnley, a team that I'm very sweet on from pre-season. They've started the season pretty well. Very hard to beat. Their only defeat came back on August the 12th, where they lost 1-0 away at Watford. They haven't been beaten since then. They've had a fair few draws that Vincent Kompany, the manager, will feel they should have won. Certainly the 3-3 draw at home to Blackpool really sticks out from back in August. But they're playing well at the moment. They are hard to break down. They're scoring pretty regularly. And they're a side who I think we can be fairly convinced are going to be in the mix for that top three. Well, top two and you know, for the each way terms, top three as well at the top end of the championship this season. But they play Cardiff, and Cardiff come into this in quite a weird position where they sacked manager Steve Morrison off the back of what can't really be considered a particularly poor run of form. I think they were playing as most thought they were. They were pretty good at home. They were pretty good at stopping teams from creating too much. They weren't a great attacking force, but given, you know, the squad and where they how they've been doing in recent seasons, I think everyone was quite surprised to see him show in the door, especially after he was given the job full-time in the summer after a caretaker role there. And Mark Hudson is the caretaker manager, and there seems to be no rush at Cardiff to make a change. I think they're probably kind of hoping that Hudson hits the ground running and they're able to appoint him full-time. But I've done a bit of digging, and this isn't Hudson's first caretaker spell in charge of a club in the Championship. He was caretaker for one game at Huddersfield in January 2019. Huddersfield lost that game 3-0. He was then caretaker at Huddersfield again between August and September 2019. They played three games. They lost all three games, and the aggregate score in the three was 6-2. So Mark Hudson has overseen four games of football and has conceded nine goals and scored just two and has lost all four. Now, that there are so many other issues at play here. I'm not for a minute suggesting that that is his fault or that he's a terrible manager, but I think what it probably does tell us is that he isn't necessarily someone who is going to immediately spark a group into life. He's tried it twice and he's failed twice. He might be a good tactician. He's got a reputation to be a great leader, but I'm not particularly fearful. Also, the fabled new manager bounce that I don't really believe in. you know, normally new manager bounces come off the back of a really poor run of form where natural variance means that, you know, eventually points are going to come. That isn't the case with Cardiff. Cardiff haven't, you know, their form has been okay in recent weeks. They've won games fairly recently. So there's no reason in my mind why there should be a variance bounce where they come into some form. I think it's pretty unlikely. So yeah, loads of reasons to think that Burnley are the better side here. And I'm not too fearful of Cardiff, even though their home form has been okay. Only losing one game at home, and that was against Luton. I think they're definitely beatable. I think they're a great side, and I think the odds, you know, the kind of heavy odds against that you're getting about a Burnley win is justified. At +125 is justified to back that. Those are our Championship picks. I'll quickly run through the markets in the games we haven't covered. We've got Reading are +108 at home to Huddersfield, who are +220 with their new manager Mark Fotheringham taking charge for the first time in that game. Coventry +165 against Borough. at 140. We've got Rotherham plus 120, Wigan plus 205. In that one, Rotherham also managerless after losing Paul Warne to Derby and Mark Bonner turning them down this morning. Blackpool plus 295 against your team, Norwich at minus 136. Blackburn are plus 116 at home to Millwall, who are plus 225. And finally, yeah, on Sunday, midday kickoff over in the UK, 7 o'clock Eastern time in the morning, I think it is. So an early start for those who want to get up and watch Stoke, who are plus 133 against Watford, who are plus 180. New manager, Slaven Bilic, taking charge of his first game there as well. Watford fans will be hoping for some kind of a reaction.
Stoke were on my list up until the news of Rob Edwards' departure, and I thought, I don't know what to happen now, so I left it out. But an interesting one to watch. Be very
scared
interesting
of
to
the
see
new
how
manager
that
bounce.
Well, just the step into the unknown. I wasn't quite sure what was going to go on there. Yeah, but I like supporting Alex Neil in his early days at Stoke, and I was going to, but not anymore.
enough. What's your pick in League One?
So, yes, Wickham versus Plymouth is the game I've identified here. And we're going for more goals. Goals galore, over 2.5 goals at odds of minus 106. And I was a bit surprised by this one as well. Weren't quite expecting to see those odds available to us. As I mentioned at the top of the show, watched Plymouth on the TV last weekend and were impressed by them. It's a side that we've talked about again from preview shows and regularly since then. A side that we talked about during the week between each other, saying that they're very much undervalued. We're a crazy price in some quarters for still getting promoted, as you pointed out to me, and potential champions. So they're doing everything right, but the bookies still seem to kind of have a little bit of a kind of negative attitude towards them, which fine, let that continue. I think is what we'll say. But again, they were very impressed. They went a goal down against Ipswich, obviously, who were who are promotion rivals, responded to that really well. Ballymumba was continuing to impress there at Plymouth, scored the equalising goal. It was a feisty affair for sure. It was a great watch, really enjoyed it. And I say over 2.5 goals copped in that because Plymouth got the winner later on there. As far as their away games are concerned, they've been even better, an absolute goal fest. So great fun to watch when they're on the road. All five of their away games so far in the league have seen over 2.5 land. 21 goals across the five, evenly split as well, which is nice. We're not relying on one particular team, one strength. 10 goals scored, 11 goals conceded. So an average of 4.2 per game, which is an incredible stat. And long may that continue. A player that was missing at the weekend should well be back this coming weekend. Finn Azaz. I know one of the players that you're quite fond of as well. He was on international duty.
Yeah. He was suspended, I think.
Oh, he was international duty, Ireland under 21s.
Nice.
Did a bit of digging myself this time. under 21s and didn't actually make the bench in the first game against Israel under 21s, which didn't go down overly well with Stephen Schumacher. He did come off the bench in the second leg. And he's not been overused, put it that way, whilst away on international duty. So he'll be back fresh for that and we'll add to their attacking threat and talent. As for Wickham, they've been struggling a little bit this season, down in 17th place, but we're not too worried about that. I was tempted, I must admit, to go and side with Plymouth again at plus money, but I've gone with the goals instead because they follow Wickham around as well. 28 goals in their 10 games home and away so far this season. Over 2.5 has copped in 7 of their 10, which is a joint league one high. So therefore, simple as that. No more detail needed. Over 2.5 goals at odds of minus 106.
Love it. League two for me. I am backing Stevenage to go to Crawley and get a result. They are just a shade of odds on minus 104. Stevenage are one of the best teams in League Two so far this season. They've proven themselves that over the course of the campaign. They've been very good away from home. They're very solid defensively. It's kind of impossible to pick any holes in Steve Evans's side. The same cannot be said of Crawley. I've got to hold my hands up. I got Crawley very, very wrong pre-season. I got some others okay. You know, I've got Barrow up my sleeve. I've got Burnley up my sleeve, but Crawley were the ones where I looked at their squad, I looked at what they were doing off the pitch, I got very excited, but the reality has been a far cry from what I expected to see. They are an incredibly poor team. Going forward, they create very few chances. Their only win this season came in a 3-2 home win against Stockport in a game where they only had five shots in the game and three of them went in. I think they've lost the XG battle in every game they've been in this season, apart from one, which was a defeat against Northampton that they lost 3-2 at home. I think just stylistically, this is a Steve Evans side who are so resolute defensively, so physical going forward, so good from set pieces, up against a Crawley side who aren't very good going forward, who concede plenty of chances. Crawley have had injuries. They look like they're going to have injuries again going into this game. Ellery Balcombe, the keeper, who they were very excited about. They brought in on loan, still injured, which means that Corey Adai will continue in goal, who was meant to be their number two. Kevin Betsy came in with a huge reputation from the Arsenal youth setup as their manager. And from what I'm seeing so far, there's absolutely nothing to suggest that he's the man to take them forward. That might change. I kind of hope with my my futures hat on, it does change. You've got to bet from what you see. From what I'm seeing so far, Crawley alongside Gillingham are the worst team in the EFL probably. And until that changes, I'll be looking to oppose them wherever possible. And I think having a team in Stevenage who is so consistent away from home is kind of the perfect time to do so, because we're getting a backable price because of the supposed home advantage, when I'm pretty sure, even if this bet fails to win, I'm pretty confident that Stevenage will dominate the game and dominate the chances as well. So that's my League Two pick. And there we go. We're going to be back in a couple of days, aren't we?
We will. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be full on now until the World Cup. That's for sure. Back to back. Happy days.
Happy days. So yeah, do look out for Jack and I'll be back for another English Championship show. That will be coming out probably on Monday or Tuesday next week, I'd have thought. Ahead of the Tuesday or Wednesday fixtures. So do keep an eye out for that. And do look out on the BetRivers BetRivers Network YouTube channel as well. Subscribe there and you can find all of the different preview content across all different sports as well. So do go and check that out. And you can find these as podcasts on any podcast platform as well. And do check out the BetRivers site for all of your punting needs, all of your betting needs ahead of the weekend's action. Loads of stuff going on in the UK with football this weekend. The Premier League is back as well. So go and check out the Premier League show from the guys too. And do follow the app Because We Win Twitter handle, where you can find all the sports handicappers showing their selections and loads of content up on there as well. Thank you, mate.
Thank you. Until the next time.
Speak next week, guys. Have a hopefully a couple of winners in there. Enjoy the football. And as is always the case, please ensure that you're gambling responsibly.